بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Welcome to this series of lectures inshallah ta'ala on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or rather the tafsir, explanation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way we're going to be doing these classes of tafsir inshallah ta'ala is that we're going to go through the tafsir, explanation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on order of revelation and not based on how the Quran has been arranged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because typically, when you start tafsir of the Qur'an, you start from the beginning. Surah Fatiha, and then Baqarah, and then Ali Imran, and Surah An-Nisa. But the order we're going to be going through, inshallah ta'ala, is the order of revelation, as they were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you may find that sometimes, when we begin in a particular chapter of the Qur'an, leave that chapter and go to another chapter. Because as those verses of that particular chapter has been revealed, they may not have been completed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals other ayat of other chapters. So you may find we start with a surah, we do not complete it with a chapter, go to another chapter, and then come back to that chapter later on, because the verses in those chapters, they're revealed later on to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, in these classes, after we related the verses to the seerah, the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the next class, which is next week inshallah ta'ala, we'll go to the mawdu' of the surah, or the mawdu' of the ayat, the subject of the ayat, and explanation of each and every single one of these verses. So that which we're going to go to today inshallah ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram, الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. These five verses were the first five verses that began this minna, this blessing, and this excellent and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the whole of mankind, the raising of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These first five verses were the first five verses that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that began with it the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how related to the seerah, we have a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, "The awwalu ma budi'a bihi min al-wahi al-ru'ya al-sadiqa." That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beginning of al-wahi, of revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began with al-ru'ya al-sadiqa, with true dreams. In this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Min al-wahi wa min," and this shows us also the importance, inshallah, of learning the Arabic language. I'm not saying we should be fluent in speaking Arabic, but we should understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word min in Arabic is used for tabi'id, to show a part of something. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa mimma razaqnahum," and from that which you've given them, they spend off, meaning a part of what we've given them. So Aisha radiallahu anha, this hadith said, min al-wahi, meaning from types of revelation, from some of revelation, meaning there's more than one type of revelation. So from the types of revelation that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it began with was al-ru'ya al-sadiqa, true dreams. So what are the different types of revelation of al-wahi? The first type is al-ru'ya al-sadiqa or al-ru'ya al-saliha, true dreams or righteous dreams. And the proof that this is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ru'ya al-anbiya haqq." The dreams of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're all what? True. The second type of revelation is ilham, inspiration. And that is that the angel, it blows in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is called ilham. And a proof of this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he said, "Inna ruh al-Qudus nafatha fi ru'i, anna an-nafsa lan tamuta hatta tastakmil rizqaha, fattaqullaha wa ajmilu fi at-talab." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-ruh al-Qudus, who's ruh al-Qudus? Jibril alayhi salam blew into my heart, meaning revealed to me that no soul will ever die until it's completed every single provision Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for it. Fattaqullah, so fear Allah wa ajmilu fi talab. So when it comes to affairs of the dunya, take it easy. The third type of al-wahi, of revelation, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bidun wasitatul malak, without the intermediary of an angel. And this happened with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And it also happened with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Isra wal Mi'raj. The fourth type of al-wahi is for the angel to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ala surah, upon the form on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. The fifth time is angel to appear to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of a man. Like the hadith of Jibreel, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Mal Islam, mal Iman." And the last type of wahi is an yatihi kasulsalatil jaras. And this was the most severe upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ahyanan," sometimes when the revelation comes to me, it will come to me not in terms of similarity of sound, but severity, like the ringing of a bell, like an alarm. And sometimes when the revelation will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sweat will break from the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If the leg or the foot of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is upon somebody and the revelation comes to him, this severe revelation, the weight of the leg of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be felt upon that person. So this is the sixth type of revelation. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, the first type of revelation was what? Ar-ru'ya as-sadiqa. In some narrations, it says ar-ru'ya as-saliha. Ar-ru'ya as-sadiqa is what? True dreams. Ar-ru'ya as-saliha is what? Good dreams. So which one of it do we choose? Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "Ar-ru'ya as-sadiqa, true dreams. Ar-ru'ya as-saliha, good dreams. Huma bima'na wahid, bin nisbe lil-anbiya fi umur al-akhirah." True dreams, righteous dreams, they have the same meaning when it comes to the prophets of Allah concerning affairs of the hereafter. Meaning, anything to do with the hereafter, the dreams of all the anbiya, they're what? They are true, and they're also what? Good, righteous dreams. Amma binisba ilumur ad-dunya, as for worldly matters, all the dreams of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're haqq, they are true. But not all of them are what? Good dreams. You understand the difference? So all the dreams of the anbiya, when it comes to affairs of the dunya, they're all true. And what is the evidence of this? The story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that in the end of the surah, what happened? His brothers, his 11 brothers and his mother and his father, they prostrated to him. But before this happened, did Yusuf see this in a dream? Na'am. He said, "Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba." My father, I've seen in my dream 11 stars. And this 11 stars represented who? His brother. والشمس والقمر, and the sun and the moon. رأيتهم لي ساجدين, I saw them prostrating to me. And this represented his mother and father. So that which the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they see in this dunya, is all what? Is all true. But not all of it is what? Good dream. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before the battle of Uhud, رأى في المنام, he saw in his dream, بقرة تنحر, he saw a cow being slaughtered. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew before the battle of Uhud that some of his companions were going to die. And this was a true dream, but was it a good dream? No. But this dream in itself, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that his companions are being slaughtered. When it comes to affairs of the hereafter, is it good and is it true? Now, based on the principle, it's good and it's also true. Because although they were slaughtered in the hereafter, what are they? Shuhada, martyrs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن تَكُونُ تَأْلَمُونَ. If going to pain and anguish, فَإِنَّهُمْ they are يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ. They're feeling pain the same way you feeling pain. وَتَرُجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But you hope with Allah that which you don't hope. So the رُؤْيَا وَرُؤْيَا الصَّادِقَ وَرُؤْيَا الصَّالِحَ, this is the explanation. So she said the beginning of revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began in the form of dreams, righteous dreams, good dreams, or true dreams. These dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they began in Rabi'ul Awwal. And what is special about the month of Rabi'ul Awwal? What is special about Rabi'ul Awwal? Barakallahu fi, jazakallahu khairan. This is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. We should all know this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born Rabi'ul Awwal. And these dreams began Rabi'ul Awwal fi tamami 40 sana min umri. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had reached 40. And why 40? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, hatta idha balagha ashuddahu wa balagha 40 sana. That when mankind, he reaches full maturity, full intellect, and he reaches the age of what? 40. So the ulama, they say the age of full intellect is the age of what? 40. And the mufassirun, the people of tafsir, explanation of the Quran, they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَبْعَثْ نَبِيًّا قَدْ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَ مِنْ عُمْرِ. Allah never sent a single prophet except after the age of 40. Which is why they say the one that reaches the age of 40, he should continuously make the dua that comes in this ayah. Rabbi awzi'ni, O Allah, my Lord, cause me an ashkur ni'matak, to be grateful to your ni'mah, to your bounty, for your bounties. And that's why some of the non-Muslims, they say, a fool at 40 is a fool forever. If you're 40, you're a fool forever. Because this is the age of complete maturity. So this began in Rabi'ul Awwal. And it continued for 6 months. Al-Ru'ya al-Saliha. These righteous dreams. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, كَانَ لَا يَأْتِيهِ, that these dreams would not come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except they will come كَفَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ, clear. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see in his dream, he will see it happening in real life. And then she went on to say, ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى, it was made beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seclusion. Who made seclusion beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he loved to be secluded from the people. Seclusion. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hated that which his people are upon, from polytheism, from oppression, worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seclude himself from the people. وَكَانَ يَخْلُو بِغَارْ حِرَى. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do this seclusion, he used to go to غَارْ حِرَى, the cave of Hira. This cave, Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said, أَبْعَدُ مَا يَكُونَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, it was the furthest thing away from the people. وَأَصْعَدُ مَا يَكُونَ, it was the most difficult place to climb up to. So this was extremely away from the people. And he said the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to choose this cave was preparation for a nubuwah, for prophethood. Because to reach this place, he needs strength. Physical strength, and what else? Shuja'a al-qalbiya, strength of the heart. Imagine going to a far, far cave at night and sleeping in that cave nights upon nights upon nights. It needs a brave heart. And that's why there was nobody that was braver than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba, they said when it comes to when the battle becomes intense, the way that we will know the most brave from amongst us was how? The one that was next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For he will be in the midst of the action. In the midst of the action. So if you want to know bravest of us, it will be next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who was always next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the midst of the most severe battle? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. To show us the bravest of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is preparing him for this. So يَخْلُ بِغَارِ حِرَىٰ. And Aisha radiallahu anha went on to say that فَيَتَحَنَّثُ فِيهِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَتَحَنَّثُ يَتَعَبَّدْ, he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فِي غَارِ حِرَىٰ. Now we mentioned in the khutbah today that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before revelation, we don't know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question here is, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he worship Allah azza wa jal? يَتَحَنَّثْ يَتَعَبَّدْ. How was he worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Some of the scholars say, كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ بِتَفَكُّرُ. He used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with contemplation. Contemplation is one of the greatest form of ibadah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why when they asked Aisha radiallahu anha, ماذا كان أعجب أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, what was the most amazing thing that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ever did? Aisha radiallahu anha said, وأي أمره لم يكن عجبا, whatever did he ever do that was not amazing صلى الله عليه وسلم. But she remembered something that was amazing. She said one of the most amazing thing he did, that he stood up, he got up from his sleep in the middle of the night, and he read the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتِ. Verily, in the creation of the heaven and the earth, the difference of the night and the day are ayat. And she said he went back to sleep. He got up a second time, he did the same thing. A third time he did the same thing, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed the heavens and began to cry, and said, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ يَقْرَأُهَا وَلَمْ يَتَدَبَّرُ فِيهَا. Woe to the one who reads these verses, yet he does not contemplate upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, to contemplate. Some say he used to worship Allah based mimma baqiya min shara'i Ismail, what remained from the religion Ismail. Because the Arabs, they're the descendants of who? Ismail. And some say he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala fitra, the natural disposition which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. يَتَحَنَّثْ layali ذَوَاتِ عَدَدْ, for some nights. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go to his people and increase in provision. He used to take with him food. When it finishes, he will go back to Khadija radiallahu anha and take more provision. حتى جاءه الحق وهو في غار حراء, until the truth came to him while he was in the cave of Hira. And this truth that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it came to him in the last 10 days of Ramadan, ليلة القدر, the last third of the night. She said, radiallahu anha, حَتَّ جَاءَهُ الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ فِي غَارِ حِرَىٰ, until the truth came to him and he was in the cave of Hira. فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكِ فَقَالْ اِقْرَىٰ, an angel came to him and said, اِقْرَىٰ. I want us to pause on this اِقْرَىٰ. This angel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, اِقْرَىٰ, read, as it says in some translation. And in other translation it says what? Recite. اِقْرَىٰ in the Arabic language is mutaba'atun nuqt min kalamin maktub, is to make pronunciation based on what? What is written. Ala wifqi khat alladhi rusima fi hadha kalam, is to read something based on what is written, on a writing. That's reading. So some of the ulama, they said what Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was actually ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam with was what? Read, and not recite. And Ibn Hisham, in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually came with a physical book, in a material of dibaj. And he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iqra, read. And based on this definition, reading is to read, not to recite. Some of the other ulama, they say no. That iqra in Arabic has more than one definition. From the definition of iqra is to convey. For example, if there's any Arabs here and I say to you, iqra ala qawmika salam, what does it mean? Convey salam to your people. It doesn't mean read salam to them. And that's when Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna allaha yuqri'u alaykum salam. Allah is doing qira'ah, conveying salam to you, not reading salam to you. Or the hadith in which he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُقْرِئُ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامُ, that Allah Azza wa Jal conveys salam to who? Khadija. So iqra could mean what? Recite. So he said, فَقَالَ لَا iqra. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. And I want us to pause on this as well. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma ana biqari." Ma in Arabic, the letter ma has three usages. One is al-imtina', refusal. The second is a nafyu, ikhbar, is to negate. And the last is what? Istifham, to question. So for the first one, imtina', I said, ana ma bi fa'il. I'm not going to do it. Ma bi dhahib. I'm not going to go. So here, it could mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he's doing, what? Refusing. None of the scholars have said he did this out of refusal. So we cancelled that one. We left with how many now? Two. So the two that's remaining is what? Ma ana biqari is negation. That I could not read. He's given a fact that he could not read. Majority of the scholars go towards this opinion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma ana biqari, it means I cannot read. And the reason they go towards this opinion is that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an-nabi al-ummi, the unlettered prophet. Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyin rasulan minhum, is the one that sent amongst unlettered people a messenger from amongst them. Another reason they go towards this opinion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ, you never read anything before this from the scripture. وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ, nor did you ever write before this. إِذَنْ لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ, if that had happened, the falsifiers would have found an excuse that he used to read, he used to write. So this is a miracle for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he could not read and he could not write. And if you look at Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed with the Mushrikeen, Ali radiallahu anhu, he wrote, "Hatha ma salaha alayhi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam Rasulullah." This is the treaty agreed to by Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. In this Sulh Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet when Ali wrote this, Suhail ibn Amr said, "Qif, stop right there. That we cannot accept." Ali said, "Qad katabt, I've written it, haqqan, I've written it in truth." Suhail ibn Amr returned to Ali. He said, "Lo kunna na'lam, do you think if we know he's the Messenger of Allah, la akhrajna, we'll expel him from our land?" Then he turned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Uktub bismik wasmi abik, write it with your name and the name of your father." Meaning, write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't read. So he said to Ali radiallahu anhu, "Imsahha, rub it out, put Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib." Ali said, "Wallahi la amsahuha, by Allah I will never rub it out. Katabtu haqqan, I wrote it in truth, you're the Messenger of Allah." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ali, "Arini iyyaha, show it to me. If he could read, he would know where it is." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped it out with his own hand. And this was a miracle for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why the mushrikeen, they had no hujjaj, they had no proof that this is not from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started to come up with silly things. From the silly things, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught this Quran by a young Christian youth who was a non-Arab. So Allah ta'ala said, "Lisanu alladhi yulhiduna ilayhi a'jamiyun wa hadha lisanun arabiyyun mubin." The one they're indicating taught Muhammad is a non-Arab. And this is what? Pure Arabic. So they say, "Ma ana biqari," it means what? I cannot recite. But the explainer of Sahih al-Bukhari, al-Sharih, Imam Abu Hajar, his opinion was, "Ma ana biqari" means what? What should I read? So it's a question, what should I read? And he said, when you go towards the end of the hadith, the meaning could only be, what should I read? Why? Because he kept squeezing it. Iqra. Iqra. Until he said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." Mean, read what I am reading. And that's why, or recite what I'm reciting. These differences of the ulama, it opens up our mind that could have more than one interpretation. So Ibn Hajar's explanation is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking him, what should I read? After this, the angel recited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He squeezed him. He said, "فغطني حتى بلغ مني الجهدة." He squeezed me till I became exhausted. فقال اقرأ, read. قلت ما أنا بقاري, I don't know how to read, or what should I read? فغطني, and he squeezed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, then released him until he did it a third time. Then he said, "اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق, خلق الإنسان من علق, اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم, علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم." After this first ayat, five ayat, فرجع بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went back to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and he said, "Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me, cover me," which is why Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayah, "Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O dathiruni, ya ayyuha al-muddathir." And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had calmed down, he said to Khadija radiallahu anha, "Laqad khashitu ala nafsi," I feared for myself. Some say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam feared for himself illness or death. فَقَالَتْ Khadija. And this is what I want us to pause on now, the statement of Khadija radiallahu anha. Imagine you coming to your wife with this great incident, that this has happened to you. She'll either think you've lost your mind, you lost your marbles, or she'll panic if she believes it's true. She'll go into a mad panic. But look at the statement of Khadija radiallahu anha, to show the importance of imra'a saliha, a righteous woman. That when you're choosing a wife, choose a righteous woman and a woman with intellect. She said, "Wallahi," she didn't even bother to question about the incident. What happened? Did this really happen? Who came to you? How did it happen? She said, "Wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abadan." She said, "By Allah, I swear by Allah, Allah will never humiliate you." Why? She said, "Innaka latasilu rahim." You keep the ties of kinship. You keep the ties of kinship. What does it mean to keep the ties of kinship? Keeping the ties of kinship means, as explained by the Prophet ﷺ, that your own kin, they cut you off, but yet you try to keep a connection to them. Not that they keep a connection to you and you keep a connection to them. No, even those that cut you off, you keep the ties of kinship. Then she said to the Prophet ﷺ, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, you help the one who is weak, the orphans and the poor. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ, you give people from your wealth. And this was before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nubuwa, prophethood. He was known to be generous. And then she said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that wa tuqri'u dhaif, you honor the guest and you help those in calamity. Anybody who has any of these, who has all these six attributes, the scholars have said, having these six attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever ever humiliate you. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said, "Idha ra'aytu rajulan," if you see any man, مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ, Allah has given him these attributes, فَعْلَمْ, know that this person, مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, is from those that fear Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمِنَ الْمُيَسَّرْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ, the one Allah Ta'ala has made his affairs easy. And what is the delil of this? The saying of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Layl, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى, as for the one who gives and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa saddaqa bil husna, and believes in the reward of Allah azza wa jal, fa, we're going to make his affairs easy for him. So this is the statement of Khadija radiallahu anha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never humiliate you. And these attributes we should all try to have. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with salah, with soul, who does the reward go to? Who is that for? For you. But if you look at all these six things mentioned there, who is it for? For other than yourself. So a Muslim is selfless. So she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever ever humiliate you. Now Khadija radiallahu anha, in continuing the hadith, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, فانطلقت به خديجة حتى أتت به ورقة ابن نوفل. She went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ورقة ابن نوفل, the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha. And this person, Waraq ibn Nawfal, at that time was a Christian in Jahiliyyah, and he used to write the books down and translate it. And he used to write from the Injil in his own original language, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished for him to write. وَكَانَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا, at this time was an old man, and he'd actually even gone blind. فَقَالَتْ لَهُ Khadija, after this Khadija said to him, يَا ابْنَ عَمْ, my cousin, اسمع من ابن أخيك, listen to what the son of your brother has today. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related the story to him. After he narrated it to him, ورقه ابن نوفل, he said, هذا الناموس, meaning this was Jibreel. So here he gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam glad tiding. الذي نزل الله سبحانه وتعالى على موسى, the one that was sent to Musa. يا ليتني فيها جذعاً, I wish I was young, because this time he was old and strong. ليتني أكون حياً, I wish I'll be alive. إذ يخرجك قومك, when your people expel you. And then he went on to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lam yat. The Prophet said to him, amukhrijiyahum, they'll really expel me? Because this was a shock to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would expel him. Because amongst the Quraysh was known as Sadiq al-Amin, the honest, the trustworthy. He said, lam yati rajulun qat. Nobody, no man has ever come what he came with, illa except ukhrij, except it was expelled. Except it was expelled, and only expelled, except he was harmed. And then he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if I was to be alive, I will aid you with a good aiding. I'll support you. And this is considered as being Islam, yani accepting the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Now, I want us to pause on the statement of Waraqa when he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I wish I'll be here when your people expel you. Nobody's ever come what you come with, except people became an enemy to him and they harmed him. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never asked him, they're going to harm me? He never asked him, they're going to become my enemies, but rather he asked him what? They're going to expel me. The ulama, they say the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yastankiru hadha al-amr, the reason he was amazed and shocked at this, is that from the most severe forms of torture to the Anbiya wa Rusul and the allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the kuffar in all time and all places they know is to expel them from their lands. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left Makkah, how did he leave? He turned to Makkah with tears in his eyes, saying, if your people had expelled me, I would never have left you. Tashabahat qulubuhum. The hearts of the mushrikeen, the kuffar, in all times, in all places, they are the same. Because expelling somebody from his own land has a severe effect upon their heart. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it along with what? Killing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أن كتبنا عليهم أن يقتلوا أنفسكم أو يخرجوا من دياركم ما فعلوه إلا قليل منهم. If we had written for them, kill yourselves or come out of your land, none of them will have done it except for a few. So here Allah Ta'ala mentions killing yourself along with what? Leaving your land. And that's why the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the ways that they were tortured is be expelled from their land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ, that those who were arrogant from the people of Shu'ayb, what did they say to him? لَنُخْرِجَنَّكَ يَا شُعَيْبُ, we're going to expel you, Shu'ayb, we're going to drive you out. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَكَ, and those who believe with you. So one of the most severe tortures in old times and even in modern time, may Allah Ta'ala save you from this fitna, is to be expelled from a land. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people of Lut. What did they say? أَخْرِجُوا أَهْلَ لُوت مِنْ قَرِيَتِكُمْ. Expel the people of Lut from your land. The same way that people today, they've been expelled from their land in Burma. It's one of the most severe tortures. People's houses, even in their own land, in our normal houses, may be burning. Or you may stay in a hotel, the hotel might burn down. And you feel some loss for your property. You feel some anguish you've lost. But imagine being expelled from your land. One of the most severe forms of torture. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ, the disbelievers, they say to their messengers, what they say to them? لَنُخْرِجَنَّكُمْ, we're going to expel you مِنْ أَرْضِنَا, from our land. أَوْ لَتَعُدُونَ, until you come back to our religion. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became shocked at this, because it's one of the most severe form of torture. So with this, Waraqa ibn Nawfal, after a short while, he passed away. And there's what they call fatra al-wahi, a break, not in revelation, but in revealing of the Qur'an. And it was said at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this break was there to cause him to want to seek revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ajlan saying, during this break in revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go to the highest part of the mountain and try to throw himself off this mountain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. When he wanted to do this, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he will appear to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, innaka rasulullah, you're the messenger of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this revelation with Iqra. And these five verses, inshaAllah ta'ala, next week, we'll go through the meaning, explanation of these five verses. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِوَلَكُمْ السَّلَامُ.